Welcome back. It is The Drive with Matthew, Jimmy, and Chuck. ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5. We're brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown. It's Funky Friday.
Once again, as I've been saying for most of this show, stop it, Sean. Stop that whole shoulder thing you're doing over there. It's a good thing Will Leach can't see that, because he'd hang up in a second if he saw that. Joining us now, boy, we've been on some run this week.
It's been a good week.
With the guests we've had, and this is no exception. Hey, Will, just let me go on for a minute here. Hold on. We'll say hello to
you. I will not stand in your way.
Okay. It says in his Twitter bio, at William F. Leitch, L-E-I-T-C-H, columnist at MLB, contributing editor, New York Magazine, writer at Medium. He's a critic at Grierson Leitch, and a founder of Deadspin with five books. The fifth is coming in May. He went to the University of Illinois, right? That's what Illini means, right?
Well, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, correct.
And a Mattoonian. All right.
It makes you wonder how he ended up in Athens.
Well, we'll find that out. And hi, Will. How are you?
Hello. I can prove I'm an Illini, because I'm still mad at you guys about 1984.
Oh,
like that, that is very old school. I was 8 years old, and that was hard.
I was going to say, what were you, seven?
Yeah, that stuff never gets out of the whole system there. What is a Mattoonian?
That's my hometown. We're about an hour south of Champaign.
Okay, got it.
An hour south of Champaign.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, that you're a very successful guy and you still say that you're a Mattoonian must mean a lot to the people in your hometown. That's very cool.
The ones that are left.
Yeah, the four people that are still there.
Yeah. And they're all named Leitch.
Well, your family's proud of you, Will. We're going to talk to you now because you did for GQ, actually. See, you didn't even list that in your bio. I mean, you know, and I'm looking at your profile picture. You look like a guy in this profile picture who is very GQ. I mean, you're very well-dressed. You're a good-looking guy. Jimmy and Chuck and I have been in the studio for 8 months. We haven't gone home or showered, and we haven't changed our clothes. So,
By choice.
Talking to you is a big deal for us right now.
That picture was definitely taken pre-pandemic, by the way. Wild hair maniac at this point.
He looks like a Duck Dynasty guy.
Yeah, see, we talked to you before about how professional you are, but just for one day, put your pandemic picture up there. They're always fun, all of them. Okay.
Never.
So you'll just save those. Anyway, so we want to talk to you about this great interview you did for GQ with Emmanuel Quickly, who obviously we're here in Lexington, and he's a big deal to us, and he was now and when he was here. But I want to tell you, because in reading that interview and the things written before it, you're a Knicks fan. Is that true?
That is. I lived in New York for 13 years. I didn't grow up with an NBA team. So I got there. I moved there in 2000 and said, you know what? The Knicks have been great for the last 20 years. They'll be my team. It'll work out awesome for me. It did not. But I stuck with them.
Well, you're a better man than I, probably in a lot of ways, because I grew up in New York. I was I was in the Garden for, I'm old, so I saw the Willis Reed teams, and I saw the first game I ever went to, my father took me to, was in the 50s, and I saw, that's right, Jimmy, I saw Willie Nauls and Richie Guerin, and I go way back until James Dolan took over this team.
Yeah.
And Isaiah Thomas was involved, and I detest them, and I hate it. Especially now when we have Emmanuel Quickly on that team, and he's turned into a megastar already in New York City, right?
Yeah, you know, it's really wild because, you know, I mean, listen, certainly Dolan is terrible, but like Knicks fans, I would argue, are this makes it, I hope this is an insult, but like, I feel like the Knicks fans have a passion for the Knicks that's not dissimilar to basically what Kentucky fans have always had for the basketball team.
That's true, actually.
But generally speaking, like, I think, you know, that place, I mean, they've been terrible for 10, 15 years and had Dolan forever. They sell out that place every night. People are like, people lost their minds for like Anthony Randolph 10 years ago. They're desperate for someone to cheer for. And so to me, like, one of the things I love about rooting for the Knicks is, they're bad, so that part's not fun.
Yeah.
But, like, they have a huge fan base that is obsessed over every single move they make, even though they're terrible and have a horrible owner who's constantly undercutting everything.
Yeah.
So, to me, that I would argue, is actually kind of an ideal place for him to end up, because, you know, I covered the team for New York Magazine when Jeremy Lin was there. And there have been many theories as to why Jeremy Lin caught on so well with the Knicks. And my theory was, you know, Jeremy Lin was new. Like, the Knicks never get anybody new and exciting.
They get somebody old and that sucks. That's exactly what they do.
They get a free agent. They get a free agent who's better somewhere else.
Right.
And is worn down and beaten up by the time they get there. They still rarely have not just like good draft picks, because those usually turn out poorly too. But they rarely have people that young players that you're not expecting anything from that suddenly are incredibly exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Lin was that, and I think quickly is no question like that. And it is one of the sad things that I talked to him in the piece, because he's like, I don't know how much you're online, but like, people, like, Knicks fans lose their mind every time you do anything.
Yeah.
And of course, there haven't been any fans yet. There haven't been any fans yet at all there. So it's very strange. There's a funny part in the interview where I'm like, okay, wait, have you been to an NBA game with fans?
Yeah.
And he said he'd been to two. I was like, well, trust me, they're really awesome. Like, I've been to a lot. Like, it's a weird thing to say to an NBA player. But I think that kind of speaks to one of the cool things about Quickly. As you guys know, you know, he is as, like, there are people that come to New York City and they're like, I'm going to take the Big Apple by storm, and I'm going to be in all the ads, I'm going to be this guy. Clearly, he's not that guy. Like, he is charismatic, there's no question about that. But he is hardly some sort of, I'm here to take over the Garden, and he give me all the commercials, and I want to be in the spotlight all the time. You know, he's a basketball rat.
He lives in White Plains, for God's sake.
Yeah, exactly. He loves it and prefers it. I asked him what the first thing he would do in New York City when the pandemic was over, and he said, "Go to the mall."
Reading it, I actually laughed out loud at that, because of all the things to say when you go as a rookie to the New York Knicks, to say that, it says everything about him. I mean, he's...
And I have to say, one thing that's great about him, too, is fans love him so much that, like, that piece got all around, like, the New York Knicks obsessive world yesterday, and there was no one that was like, well, we don't want this yokel here. Like, they're like, yes, we love you. You just basketball. Like he may turn Manhattan into a mall full city at this point. they love him so much. So, because I think that, you know, that's what they want. And I think that's one of the things the Knicks fans will respond to, is someone who's just there. They've had so many years of people that sign up for the Knicks because they want some headlines. They think it'll help their commercial stuff or whatever. To have someone that's like, I'm here to hoop. Like, I'm here for basketball, and that's all I'm here for. It's instantly catnip for Knicks fans.
Do you think that getting someone like Emmanuel Quickly could, as you said, the Knicks have, what they've always done is gotten someone that's old and kind of past their prime. Do you think this could lead other superstars to want to come and join Emmanuel Quickly? I mean, they now have a veteran in Derrick Rose. I don't know how long he's going to be there, but could this be something in the next couple years that could have some actual potential?
You know, as great as Quickly has been, this is actually, this kind of excitement about him is not just because of Quickly.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks have actually started to, I know this, no one's going to believe me, but I swear this is true, the Knicks have started to make some smarter decisions.
Get out of here, Will. Stop it.
I mean it. Leon Rose has been the general manager, and all the stuff that you usually expect them to do. Like, listen, I like Gordon Hayward. I'm not saying Gordon Hayward is some terrible player, but usually the Knicks pay max money for someone like Gordon Hayward.
Right.
Someone who's a good player but not a great one, but is a name and makes the Knicks feel like they're doing something. Mm-hmm. They didn't do that. They have not they have compiled draft picks. They've tried to build around their young players. Some of those have not worked out. Kevin Knox is someone they're still working on. They're still hopeful about him. But the point is that they didn't trade away the draft pick for Kevin Knox. They didn't trade away the draft pick that got Obi Toppin this year. They actually have two picks from the Knicks and the Mavericks pick this coming year. Like, they've actually, all the things that people, the past regimes, Isaiah Thomas is most notoriously, have been so impatient and so frustrated and so like eager to go as quickly as possible. They have been smart and said, listen, we're going to get young picks. We're going to get young players. We're going to be smart. We're going to build around those guys. We're not going to spend a bunch of money on bad free agents. You talk about the Rose thing. They got Rose for nothing. He's a free agent at the end of this year. He's someone that they're actually hoping will work out well with their current team, but they're not like building around him or anything. Other teams would have built around him because he's a big name. And so I think the excitement for Quickley is not just about Quickley, though he's obviously great. It's also about the idea that, like, yes, this is the type of thing that we need to not screw up. Like, the organization is making better decisions than they used to make. And so you ordinarily you would see someone like Quickley in the Knicks and you'd be like, oh, wow, this is so fun. I give them a month before they screw this up.
Before they trade them. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And the idea that, like, now it is they trust the front office not to mess up something like Quickley, I think that's another reason there's a lot of excitement.
That's a huge deal. We're talking with Will Leach. And it's because they, you know, I was an actor for many years. I know about agents. They finally got somebody in there that knows something about business and basketball in Leon Rose. I mean, I didn't know what to make of that, but I think it's looking like it's a pretty good. I can't believe Dolan must have not had anything to do with it.
It's funny. One of the theories about this is that the New York Rangers actually have had some success the last few years, and one of the reasons they've had success, because Dolan, of course, also owns them.
Right.
He doesn't know anything about hockey. So
yeah, there you go.
Like, yeah, I don't understand this at all. So he takes them along, and they've been actually to make some good decisions. So the hope is that, like, look, I know it's going to be hard for Dolan because there's no live concerts. They can't just say, go on tour and open for, like, an Eagles cover band somewhere and keep yourself busy. Like, you know, I think that, like, he must be locked in the closet somewhere. But I think there's no question that, you know, it's funny, we bring up the Leon Rose thing. One of the, because obviously the Leon Rose and his agency, they have a lot of connections to Coach Cal in Kentucky. And I think that was one of the things when Quickley was drafted. I think one of the reasons that he was kind of, some people thought that was a reach. Some people think the Knicks shouldn't have drafted him. And I think part of that was because this general thought of, oh, yeah, a Kentucky guy.
Yeah,
like, that's what they're doing. Like, this is kind of taking care of all that. And I think it underrated him and underappreciated him a little bit. I remember, you know the story of this as well as anyone, but I remember when he was drafted and there were Knicks fans being like, he didn't even start most of the year. Like, how could he be any good?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that speaks to a general skepticism, not of Quickley, but of the Knicks. And so, so to see him not only emerge like this, but for also the Knicks to be like, oh, this is something good. And listen, he's not all the way there. He's only in like his first 15 games.
He's only 12 years old, for goodness
exactly.
sake.
Exactly. He can't even get to a mall, for crying out loud.
Well, those Knicks fans, by the way, go ahead.
No, to me, the thing is that, like, it's very clear that they recognize what they have.
Yeah.
They're trying to nurture it rather than being like, there's been some frustration among Knicks fans that, like, Alfred Payton is playing more than Quickley a little bit. But I think there's also understanding that there's no reason to, like, burn Quickley out. They really see a big piece of them for a long time. And that's something in the past the Knicks would have totally burned out and made too big of a deal. It's kind of an ideal situation.
You know, I was just going to say that those Knicks fans who, he didn't even start for his teams, I would remind them that a guy named Devin Booker was the SEC Sixth Man of the Year and never started one game in the year he was at Kentucky. And he's turned out pretty good, I'm just saying. I mean, so.
That was one of my favorite bits from the interview. And Quickley's like, yeah, you know, I really think I should have won Player of the Year and Sixth Man of the Year. which I thought was a pretty fair point.
This interview is so great, Will, and he had some really great answers, talking about his family, his mom and his grandmother who yelling whoop whoop.
Oh, they turned into celebrities.
And, here they were celebrities, and even though he said he's seen them, that when they get to be in the garden with a full house there, they will be as big stars as Emmanuel is once the fans get a load of them.
Because the thing, too, right, is that they usually yell when the crowd isn't making noise.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. They're trying to, like, maximize how they're here.
Yeah.
And listen, the Garden is actually going to let in about, I think, 1,000 fans in the next month, and the families of the players. So I have a feeling we're going to be hearing from them pretty soon.
Oh, that's next,
I think that their moment's about to explode.
That's the perfect storm. Some fans, but mostly empty, so you can really hear them.
Yeah, their voice is carried in Rupp Arena.
Oh, yeah. No, this will be.
They don't even have to wait for quiet moments. They can just do it the whole game.
This will be awesome. We can't wait. It's a great, great interview, as all of your work is so terrific. And we're really thankful that you took some time with us, and we hope we can catch up with you again real soon, and maybe one day you and I can go to the Garden and watch the Knicks in the NBA Finals. How about that?
I would love to do that. It's more likely that Dolan realizes, what? I have a team? Yeah. Oh, who's this guy?
Who's on our roster?
All right, forget it.
Where's Bargnani?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, thanks a million,
my
Will.
My pleasure, as always.
Be
Please,
safe.
My pleasure. My
okay.
Pleasure.
See you. Okay.
Thanks, Will.
Will Leach, he's terrific. This has been couple of weeks, really, with the people we've been able to lasso into coming on here. I don't know. Are you promising them Rolexes or something? Like, how are we getting all these people?
I mean, look at me. Wouldn't you join us if I asked?
He told everyone that they're getting on the cover of GQ, and Will was getting him on is hopefully going to.
Because if there's anybody that should be on the cover of GQ, it's
Chuck.
I mean, come on.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't.
Mr. GQ.
I can't. All right. Stick around, because coming up, we're going to hear first from Cal and then one of our favorites, Bruce Pearl.
I wish that I had had the nerve to put his pre-press conference little banter up there, because he was very, very concerned about where the camera was on him.
Really?
They had they had a camera here and a camera here. One was running the Zoom.
Yeah.
And one was for the website.
Yeah.
Like, where am I supposed to look? Which one am I supposed to look at?
Was Who's he sweating already?
Oh, he wakes up and goes to bed.
That's true. Yeah. Okay. All right. Stick around. It's ESPN Sports Radio 1300-92.5.
The Drive, brought to you by Dan Cummins in Paris and Georgetown.